didn't see it.
That's right.
But they sent her on to Eggleston. And we stayed there a couple of days, and finally the doctor came in and said, you know what, these beds are for sick kids. And she's not sick. And I praise the Lord for that. And for all the other things, there's so many that he's done for me and my family. I worship as we sing, there's a miracle in the making. The crowd was great, but she knew she had to reach him, 'cause this was her last hope of ever being healed. So she pressed through until she touched his garment. Oh, and right then and there, her miracle was fulfilled. And have you prayed and prayed?
There's a miracle in the making for you today. At all the times, but even here in our church. And I think sometimes when we look back and we think of how blessed we are that when some of the instrument players aren't here, other ones can fill the gap. And we've got a drummer that hasn't even been trained. He just does what the Lord leads him to do. And all the singers and everyone that goes forth in the praise songs. And whether it be the Red Book hymnal or I love to hear the words. I love to hear what the Lord has and these authors of these stories. But I am excited about this opportunity tonight and looking forward to what the Lord has in store for us. I have, y'all know me, I'm a note taker. I do a lot of little jotting here and there. So it's bad when the Lord lays something on your heart and I'm in one place and then I've got other places and I carry all these little sticky notes and all this kind of stuff with me and you're trying to put it all together. And then finally I say, okay, as I said earlier, okay, God, it's your turn. I'll get out of the way. So we're just going to have a message tonight. And thank y'all for being here. Really excited about it. I'm going to ask you to turn to Luke. Very familiar story in the Bible. Luke 15. We're going to start with verse 11 and go through 24. Luke 15. As soon as you see it, or most of y'all might have memorized what it is. And it's Luke 15, 11 through 24. We're going to read the Lord's Word tonight. Lord, we're just giving it to you. All righty. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and divided unto them his living. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all there, arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would fain, having filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran, and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to the servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bringeth hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Tony, would you ask the Lord to bless this message to the Lord and his servant?
Heavenly Father, we praise you, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity to be able to be here, Lord. We praise you for your word. We praise you, blessed and honored man, spring to the Lord, Lord. And honored to be able to speak the words that you have. And help us to receive your word, Lord. Blessed and honored to open our eyes before our spirit, Lord. We praise you, love and honor.
Amen. Amen. Just praise the Lord. Thank you for that, and you may be seated. I want to welcome all our visitors and all that's here tonight. I want to thank the Lord for this opportunity. I know I say it many times. I've had an opportunity to be up here and at different times, and I feel like the Lord's already had service in so much of it. I just feel like where we're going with this message tonight, I believe fits very well with the prayer request that's come out tonight. After hearing the powerful message that was preached this morning, I asked Brother Chris, I said, just talking to him, and I said, do you mind if we have a part two? And he looked at me, and I says, The title of the message tonight is Back to God. And I after what he preached this morning, and you know, it's touched my heart, and I went home and I started studying and had an opportunity to look over this scripture. I'd already had it and already had things laid out. So as I said, I was putting fine touches on the notes, and I just asked the Lord to step up and just take over. And this is his message. I want to get out of the way and let this message come forth. Back to God has been something that was put on my heart. That actual title is the title of a song. I don't know where I heard it, how I found out about it, but I was Googling it earlier in the week. And it's a song, and I'll mention it to you a little later. But it's really a strong song, or at least it is for me. You know, in my walk, and as we look at this scripture, there are many messages that, as we know, have been spoken on the prodigal son. I know I've used it many times. You know, I've always believed in so much of it, the different breakdowns. You can take from the father to going ahead and giving his son his inheritance, for him going over and squandering it, all the different things that go forth. But when we see this scripture, and I guess we want to talk about the young, and I know this is for each and every one of us, but I know we've all been young once, and whatever our life walk was, whether we left home very early, whether it might be our choice, we might not have had a choice, we might have run away, there could be other circumstances that created it. But there are things that I wrote down, and part of it in this scripture, it just says growing up, getting out of the house, or wanting to stretch your wings, or growing up and being led away by outside influences, or just being running away no matter what our age or our life. It could be as we were adults running away. There's so many times that we've turned. And as you heard from the title, you know where we're going to end up with this, back to God. And I really believe this, but you know, this didn't always apply to the rich people. This doesn't apply to everybody. In this world today, and you know, this prayer request that Elaine and I got at the hospital today, and the other one's calling for healing, but there's so many needs out there, but there's so many outside influences. It was mentioned this morning. There's an opportunity for us as Christians, us as individuals. We have to seek the Lord daily. We have to put ourselves in a position to where as these things come against us, we can turn and say, Lord, where do you want me here? I was asked a question this evening about music, and we're talking about things. And I said, you know, I really believe in my heart for direction. I believe I need to, I'm learning even more at my age. I need to pray more. I need to seek more. I need to look for his word and his divine guidance. But as I said, it doesn't apply everything today. Let's look at the world today. We know this young man got his inheritance, and he left. And he went to a far city, it says. But if we look at it today, I just looked at a few of these things, and it talks about there's attitudes that we see even in the news, or maybe hopefully it's not in your home, but it could be. It's there's no room for rules or for authority, for respect for others, for life or death. It doesn't seem to be a problem. It seems just to be important to feel good, and it's just something that I want to do. In this generation, as we're looking at it, and I understand we've read the whole thing, ideally I would read a few scriptures, give you the break on that, and then add to it. But as we look at something that I want to apply this to today more than I do. This scripture is so powerful. But he said he left and went to a far city. And it said he spent all his substance. The money was gone. And then the famine hit. Well, I got a question for you. When those things happen, and you know, I've heard this preached before, so I'm just this part of it. Where do the friends go? Where are those that are hanging with you or helping you spend that money or maybe getting you to buy certain items for them? Maybe they're your dealer, your supplier. Maybe they're the ones that's stealing from you or they're misleading you and say, you need to do this, you need to do that. Maybe that's the situation that's facing you. And all of a sudden the money's gone and you look up and what are we going to do? And then to top that off, there's a great famine. So there's no work, there's nothing you can do. But you know, as soon as that happened, if you notice this, and I wanted to say this, he didn't go straight back to his father. It says he went with the citizens and he tried to, I don't know if he was trying to get it back together or he was just trying to survive. But it reminded me of something that's written in Matthew, and I'm not trying to take this out of text, but it's in Matthew 13:15. And this is as we're talking about the parables, we're talking about the people. But it says, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest any time they should see with their eyes or hear with their ears, they should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them.
But at this point in life, when you're not willing to turn your life away, you're not willing to say, okay, I made a mistake, or I've messed up, and I've done everything I can. You're still getting that call of the wild, as they say. You know, I will say this. I'm old enough to hear a generation, and I've heard it said, that said, well, he's just sowing his oats. He's just out there in the world. Well, I know some folks that are carrying some scars because of that. There are things they can't fix. There are things they can't do because they got smarter than the ones that were raising them. And I'm not saying for what reason. I know their situations. I've heard my grandfather's story. And I think he was about 14 when he ran away. But from what I understand, it was an abusive situation. And he struggled for a lot of years. But at the same time, it didn't take long. You know, I know he raised, you know, he found my grandmother. And I didn't know either one of them. Well, I didn't have a chance, really. But this is just something in life. And I'm not saying every situation. But we're talking about this biblically. This prodigal son left. He blew everything he had. Now, I can see that. You know, I've got, we've got back income tax before and thought we were rich. And before Miss Elaine set me down and said, you've already spent that money three times. Says, now we're in trouble. Up until then, we were paying our bills. We had groceries on the shelf. All these things were going, but I was so excited about that. I can't imagine this. He asked for his dad for his inheritance and he gave it to him. That's love. And he led him. And then he left. He gathered it all together and left. But as we look at this, and I want to talk about this in the world today. And it's, I guess as we look at the world and we look at so many things. And after I read that about Matthew, about being, can't see, you're not hearing, your ears are gummed up. You don't want to look at the real life. You're just looking at what appeases me. What makes me feel good? What makes me happy? What, it's all about me. All about me. And I'm going to show y'all something. That's the way my mind works. I got little cross and arrows and all this kind of stuff. So when I'm looking down, it's just stuff that I did. But as this happens in life, let's talk about us. The famine's hit. The money's gone. There's a famine in the land. And then we have sickness hits us, or death, a failed marriage. Someone we care about really hurt us. There's crime, war, strife. There are those times you feel so alone that it doesn't matter who comes up to you. You can't see past your nose. You just feel like it's all me. And I'm not saying a woe is me person. I'm talking about a person that sincerely feels as down as they can get. This young man, after he'd got with the citizens and started feeding the swine, he got to a point in life that he was so low that he would have eaten the husk that he was feeding the hogs. And thank the Lord that the way he was brought up and the way the situation was, he looked back and he kind of, you know, says, you know, even my father's servants have enough food. They even have spare. He says, they're better than I am. But then think of this cry that we hear. I know a lot of y'all have prayed with others, whether you work with them or you've had a chance to counsel or you've had a chance just to witness. But what about these statements? I can't go back. I slammed the door when I left. I said things to them in anger or just trying to get them off my back. I can't take it back. You know, where do I go? What do I do? You know, it's too late. Can you imagine as he's starving and he's thinking about his father and his father's servants, the scenario? There's not a time lapse here in my mind. I know the words, each verse goes right into the next. And that's the way the Lord intended for us to take it. But I want to use this in a term back to God. Because there's something here in this parable that I believe Jesus, it's written in red, and I know it's so true, that's related to me so many times. And it goes to this song. And I want to talk about this song. It just says, back to God. And it says, it's just a song I heard. But let me just read part of it. Have you looked around? Have you heard the sound of a mother crying? The innocent dying? Are your kids okay? Will they come home safely today? Afraid it's too late? Heartbroken? And then in the verse it says, don't knock on wood or make wishes. And it says we need the world to go back to God. In this same scenario, this prodigal son fits in my heart. The dry bones, they were so crying out in my heart. all the opportunity, that everything that we had. And it was mentioned this morning, you know, so many times in our walk, we get so wrapped up in the day-to-day, the issues. This father didn't forget about his son. And because of these situations, there could be a time his son didn't think about his dad during the time of frolicking and having a good time. You know, I can only imagine. I know when we got away, Uncle Sam took me away. It was a whole nother world. There wasn't a mom there to tell me, you don't need to do that. I knew the Lord. But I didn't listen to him. I didn't listen to those situations that came forth. And there were some scenes that, you know, you just imagine. But thank the Lord, I was the scared one, so I didn't want to get in trouble. I tried to keep my nose as clean as I could. But for him to say it's too late, I can't go back. You think about that. And we say that in life. You know, I made so many mistakes. In being in the job that I am, I supervise and also help hire people. When you go back and take someone's, I don't know if any of y'all know the DOT regs, but you have to go back 10 years on their past and their jobs, and you ask them to, the other jobs have to say, have you ever been fired for drugs? You ever had a vehicle homicide? All the other things that go forth. There are records that stick with you. And it takes a lot to clean those up. And a lot of insurance companies, if you have that, they pull 10-year MVRs. Then we pull an annual MVR. You're constantly being watched. But there are young men and young people. I shouldn't say just men. I know ladies are driving now too. But there's so many that have that on their record that they wish they could go back and fix it. But see, this young man, as he's starving and almost eating the hooks that the swine would eat, he turned around and said, I'm going to go to my father. And he says, I will, let's see, in 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare that I perish with hunger? But what did he say after that? He says, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of their hired servants. That is one of the most moving points in my personal life that I know, is when you completely come to that point. I guess I've heard people say you're as low as you can go. You're at the bottom of the ditch. You're, you know, all the different things that are said. But truthfully, when that reality comes, and thank the Lord for His Word and for His mercy, that the Word gets out and those that will help lift you up, that you can cry out and say, Father, I have sinned against you. Lord, I'm not worthy of your love and your compassion and your mercy and your grace. Dear Lord, there's no way I can do anything but to ask you to forgive me. And then he says, let me just be one of your servants. But what happened here? And it says that he arose, and I love 20, and he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, y'all listen to this, his father saw him and had compassion and did what? He ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That's my take on when God placed Jesus in my life. And I repented and I turned from my evil ways. And I called on his mighty name and said, Lord, I can't do it anymore. I need you. I've been playing church. I've been doing these things. I've been saying I was a good guy. And then when the reality hit, and thanked to his word and to preaching, and told me, being nice isn't going to get you in heaven. It's going to be saved, child of God, through repentance and His mercy and grace, and that precious blood, that price that was paid for each and every one of us. That's the only way you're going to find satisfaction. The joy that it comes from being a repentant heart. Now, I know you've got to get low. And I'm not saying anyone in this congregation has a problem. Please don't say this. But this is not just a story from the past of the Old Testament, New Testament, wherever you want to say things come from in the Bible. You know, we're working the Old Testament in our Sunday school class. But this right here in Luke, and this is the words of Jesus, the purest love. And each of these parables was said for a reason. That's so at times like these, we can go through them and we can go back and understand. You know, we may have read the story of so many other things, but I want to say this. And I've got some scripture that I want to go over tonight. But his father didn't just throw his nose up at him, didn't turn his back on him, didn't call him a dirty dog. How dare you do that? He says, son, welcome home. He ran to him. He ran to Him. First of all, I've heard this preached before, and I've thought about it many, many times as this parable has come up in my heart. Y'all don't know that. I know you used to know us. We did a thing at our men's meeting the other morning that you bring your favorite verse. And this is one I should have taken too. I could pick so many of them out. But this has meant so much to me because He saw Him afar off. He actually was looking for Him. I believe that in my heart. He saw that feature. He saw His walk. He saw His gait, as they would say. He knew His body language. And it had to be low for Him to come back to His dad this way. Because, you know, He left with everything he had. But His father ran to Him. He kissed Him on the neck. And as He said this, and He said, and the Son said unto Him, as He said He was going to, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. He spoke truth. Lord, I've sinned. Lord, I have sinned. I've tried to cover it up. But you know the truth. I'm not worthy to be called your child. Lord, who am I that a king would die for me? Not worthy. But His father said what? To His servants, bring forth. And He said unto him, Father, I have sinned, and no more to be called that. But His father said to His servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither a fatted calf to kill it, and let us eat and be merry. But in 24, I have it highlighted for a long, long time. It said, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. We always say that an angel sings in heaven. Every time a soul is saved, the angels just cry out and praise and worship. Each of y'all sitting there tonight, know a situation. I don't want you just to look at that prodigal child that maybe's run away or being steered wrong. Or maybe they'll say, you know, I don't really have time for church. I don't really have time for that Christian stuff. Or, you know, I've been pretty bad. Let me get my stuff together. Let me clean up my act, and then I'll go with you to church. You know, you might have to sit back and think about that for a minute, but when someone says that to you, I believe it's a cry. They're crying out. You know, it's almost like saying, I don't really want to give this stuff up yet. Wait till I'm ready to give it up. But you know, as it was spoken this morning, we're not promised tomorrow. This moment we have here is precious. This praise and worship music, praying for others, being able to lift them up, it doesn't start with other people. It's kind of like that one song that says the person came in that was an alcoholic or was drunk, and people looked around, kind of shunned him, didn't want to sit by him. And as the guy got up, someone says, you know, somebody needs to pray for him. But that song says that someone should be you. I don't want to say, you know, we talk about revival. We talk about praying for others. We don't want it to start somewhere else. Let it start in me. Let it start in you. Let's lift the Lord up and glorify His name. There are children and adults, well, I don't care what age they are, but there are children that should be children of God that are completely lost and astray. This world has pulled them away so far. Those idols you talked about this morning, Brother Chris, those things that have taken Christians. You know, I've heard this said many times. The pew is filled. You can fill a pew, but you're going to have, how many people's going to heaven out of that? You know, how many people? Where are you? What is it? You know, I know there's a narrow path. It says the road is wide. But praise God that He's put a place in perspective for each and one of us. But you know, He turned and went back to His father and the things that went forth. You can get into His brother. There's a place there where I've heard it preached, and I've read some that, you know, His brother kind of scorned Him. Oh, look what He's done. He doesn't need to be here with us. I've been here the whole time. But what did His father say? You've already got yours. This is all yours anyway. But your brother's back. He was dead. Now he lives. He is back with us. We're going to praise the Lord for this. We're going to worship. We're going to celebrate His life. And you know, it's not too late. Because, and y'all know this too, and it's not too late in our lives. It's not too late. Anyone sitting here tonight. Because no matter what that burden is, no matter what you've done or how guilty you feel, how dirty or ashamed you feel, you know, the Lord has promised me, and this is something that, again, I'm using me, okay? But I'm going to use this, and this is what the Lord's given me, and I've copied a few of them down. But in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, when God said that, you know, things were just so heavy on me, and I knew I'd messed up, and I knew I had to get back right, even in this new day. And I'm going to just be honest with y'all. There are times that I have to look back and say, you know, I'm not reading enough. I'm not praying enough. I'm not getting quiet enough with the Lord. It's kind of like we were talking the other morning about when do you find time to do this stuff? You got to make time. Because your Father's looking for you. Your Father will run to you. He'll give you everything. Put the best robe, ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. But what does God say when he says, come to me? He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Doesn't matter about the famine in the land. Doesn't matter that you squandered your life away. It doesn't matter that you're addicted to something, or like it was mentioned this morning, so many things that go forth. You can just name them. Late night television, pornography, drugs, alcohol, you know, philandering, all the things that need to be done. Theft, all the things that's got us straight. We do not need to live this life. We've got a God that loves us, that will strengthen us and guide us and lift us up and give us a joy that we can reach nowhere else. He heals the sick. He made the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the blind to see. He will furnish you a place no matter what it takes. The story of the meal barrel. If y'all want to hear about the meal barrel, y'all let me sit down and have about a couple of hours. You over a cup. I'm going to say coffee, but if it's not in the morning, it's going to be tea. But over a glass of tea. Let's talk about what God has done in my life. In Miss Elaine's life. How he's shown us things. Things that we felt were falling through. There's no reason for God to do the things he did. We were told by financial people there's no way. There's no way. And finally, that last time, out of frustration and hurt, Elaine stopped me in the parking lot. We came in two cars because we both came from work. She said, let's pray. I said, we've been praying. She says, no, let's pray. If it's God's will, let it be. And not 30 minutes later with that lady, she said, let me look at this again. Because she already knew it wasn't supposed to go through. Not only did the house go through, but the money that we thought was going to have to put down wasn't even necessary. Well, everything worked out so well that God just made it all smooth, even with all those doors that were shut, all those situations. But he says, come unto me all that are heavy laden, all that labor and are heavy laden. I try to get too fast on this. And I will give you rest. Listen to this part. Brother Tony preached well on this one night. Take your yoke upon you. Lean on me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Because here's his promise. It's his word. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Yes, amen. I'm not going to keep throwing it in your face. You ask for forgiveness, you repent, you turn your life over to me, and I will take care of it. How is that? Because it's a promise. I started looking up just so many places, and just, you know, I have words in my head, and I've got those little notes I was telling you about. In John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me, Jesus. That prodigal son, his father saw him coming. That same aspect in my heart of the Lord looking for me and said, here he comes. And once I hit my knees, or however you found it, could be in a bathroom, it could be in your warehouse, it could be anywhere, it could be an altar. But once you give your life to God, he says that I am the truth and light. You know, I heard something. And I want to throw this at you. We're talking about Jesus now. We're talking about your Savior. We're talking about God. But we're talking about him incarnated in flesh and his love for us and all that he does. In 12:46 of John, it says, I am come a light in the world that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. I heard something. Now, y'all are probably a lot smarter than I am, so y'all know all this. You got to put up with me. I'm just learning some of this stuff. Do you realize no matter how dark it gets, it won't put out the light? You can make it as dark as you want to. I mean, dark, 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 dark. I don't know if anybody's back in the old days when you went to Ruby Falls, they got you, you know, back in there somewhere, and all of a sudden they said, everybody, hold on to your little ones. We're fixing to turn out the lights. And they want to show us what the explorers found when they found that falls. And when they flipped it off, it was dark. I mean, it was dark. You know, Lane grabbed a hold of me so tight, I said, this is nice. But it was dark. And then when they flipped the light back up. But they said these explorers, when they came through, all they could hear, all you could hear was the falls. But you know, if there was one light in there, I don't care if it was a match, you know, the little glow stick, whatever you want, you can't put it out. Jesus' light shines through every bit of darkness, every bit of sin, every bit of sorrow, every bit of hate, everything that goes forward. When I sang that earlier about the mamas hearing their babies cry or wondering if your kids are coming home, if you've got Jesus in your life and in your family and you pray over them daily and you just say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, I believe with all my heart. I'm not saying things don't happen, but I believe with God in control. That's how I have to go out on work every day. That's how I can let my wife go, or my kids, or my grandkids. That's how all these things are done. Put them on the school bus or let them go to school. We can't live in fear. We have to live in, we have to be wise, because God tells us to be wise. You know, we need to have discernment. We need to be strengthened. But we need to turn back to God. Let's get all this situation and let's straighten it up and let it go from here and turn back to God. You know, there's so many places I could read and read and read. But the most important one to me, and it was mentioned this morning, is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Instead of this song, I will say this. The song I love, I mean, I really enjoyed it. I listened so many times at work, I think they got tired of me hitting replay. But the ones that were close to me anyway, or either that, or a couple of them were getting ready to shout too. But I just want to tell you, it's not too late. The prodigal son, it wasn't too late. You can burn all the bridges you want to, but Jesus will build new ones. You can turn your back. You can run as far as you want to run. But when you turn to Him, He's going to run and meet you. He's going to help you. He's going to strengthen you. We've got to go back to God, not only in this world, not only in our society, not only in the yucky news that we see every day and all the lies and deceit and everything the devil's trying to put out there, not in everyone that's wanting to destroy each and every one of you, because they want to make you ashamed that you say you're a Christian. They want to make you ashamed to say, I go to church. I can't be there on this day. We've got church. We've got to go back to God. But the thing is, it's not me telling other people. I need to tell me. My daily walk, my daily life, I want to give it back to God. And I just wrote this, and this is just the end. It just says, the message is not for them, it's for us. Amen. Let it start with us. Let it start with me. Let's turn back to God. I don't know your situations tonight. I know God has His message for a purpose. And I know He has a reason. But if there's anything that's pulling you away from the Lord right now, anything that's pulling you away, maybe, I don't want you, what was it said this morning? I'm just a Sunday morning pew warmer. I want to be a churchgoer because I love God. I want to be a Christian because of that. I want it to be not just my deed or my duty. I want it to be because I want to be there. I've said that so many times on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights too. I'm here because I want to be. Now, I'll admit, and I'm going to say this and try to close, I'm guilty. My mom and dad were real good of inviting us to the Davis House cafeteria after church on Sunday mornings when Elaine and I first got married. And I liked their fried chicken. But it was, but you know what? Those fields were plowed. Those seeds were planted. Those messages that we were sitting through. You know, granted, I knew my stomach was growling because I was getting ready to get a free lunch. But I thank God for just that opportunity that He had. So whatever it takes, if I have to invite y'all out for lunch every day or whatever, I want y'all to love the Lord. I want y'all to know what He can do in your life. I want you to turn your life back to God. Don't let the distraction of a Monday morning on the job or nights or whatever shift you work, don't let the distraction of kids going back to school, we're going to be worried about them, we got all these things going on. Let's give it back to God. Let's give every bit of it back to God. Amen? Amen. I'm going to cut this off. I'm looking up the clock. I know it's time. I try not to hold y'all late, but thank you for your attentiveness. Thank you for your prayers. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer.